Hey, this is Mo. I'm the writer and creator of the upcoming web series, Life of Burn.
And you're listening to the Hip Hop Digest Show.
You fire Mrs. Elliott. Why? Because she didn't want to kiss your ass. Well, I wouldn't either. How about that?
Mrs. Elliott has an ego.
Yeah, well, you lost the best teacher we had. We couldn't get her back now if we wanted to.
I don't have time for Mrs. Elliott's problem.
Well, you better make time.
We are being crucified by a process that is turning black into a permanent underclass, dear Frank. A permanent underclass. No, see, nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody. Mrs. Elliott's missionary zeal about Mozart has nothing to do with our problem. Nothing. What good is Mozart going to do a bunch of children who can't go out and get a job?
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show. It's your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
Of course, it's E Green. What up, brothers?
What's good?
Hootie hoo!
This nigga on his masterpiece.
Yeah.
No doubt. Shit. I was thinking about that cat, yo.
I'm a no limit soldier. I thought I told you.
Damn. Well, No Limit was in the news this week.
Yeah. I guess that's why I was thinking about him. His brother on a hunger strike and all of that. It's crazy.
Yeah. How y'all brothers doing? Everybody good?
Yeah, we good. Yeah, everything's straight.
Yeah. I can't, you know how it is, man. Life.
King Kill, you might be proud of me, B.
What's that? Oh, what's good?
Shit. What's good?
I put this device down, yo. I put the device down. I said after I post on Sunday for the mix joint, Serato Sunday, I'm going to put it down for a minute.
Oh, okay.
We all three is out the loop right now.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And real talk. I don't even want to get too deep into it. But with all the stuff going on, all the opinions, you know, the proverbial straw, right? The final straw. Well, you know, a straw is fucking almost weightless. But you got so many. But the final straw was I saw a man of color say, I wish all you non-vaxxers would just die already. I was like, I'm out, B. I'm out.
Dang, yo, so the camel's back is broken.
Oh, broken.
Actually, he ain't even speaking crazy. I heard niggas on Bloomberg Radio the other day. This white chick said out of her mouth to one of the doctors, one of the Fauci assistants, was like, so basically with the virus going the way it's going, I mean, the only way this is going to get better is when all the unvaccinated people just die off. Oh. I said, wow, she just said that.
I got to disconnect. I live before the internet, yo. And I was okay. It wasn't great life, but I was okay before the internet, B.
I found that funny as shit, cause especially in this day and time when niggas hammering you for any damn thing. I said, it must be a lot of motherfuckers that feel the way she feels, because nobody said shit about that.
I don't care what people do. You do or don't. You got to deal with what you got to deal with. But God, I ain't wishing death on nobody for not eating oatmeal. You know what I'm saying? Shit. Woo! Killer's face. What is going? What is the thought behind that, B?
It was buttons that they handed out at work. And early on, this is before the variants and shit, and it just simply said either vaccinate or ventilator. They were handing those out at work. Now, I'm not saying that you're wishing people's death. I mean, that's heinous. That's grotesque. But I think the anti-intellectual pursuit here of vaccines is kind of simple for me, and I think it should be simple for most people. Why is it political and why is it anti-intellectual? Okay, you can choose to vaccinate, and they're running at very high 80s, almost 99% efficacy. That means even if you do get it, you're pretty much going to be okay. If you don't get it, and especially if you get that variant, yeah, it could be tight.
Yeah, buddy.
Could be tight.
But you ain't wishing death, B. People are out here wishing death on human beings.
And you know why it's going to that route? Because niggas is so sick of being cooped up in the crib, having to wear these masks and shit. They want to just go back to some semblance of normalcy, of where it was before all of this shit. And they think the only way it's going to happen is for all these niggas that die, that don't want to do it. That's the only way they think it's going to happen.
But I think the problem... I'm not wishing that either. But the problem is that it's a very short 16-minute... And I'll quickly. It's a very short 16-minute documentary on the polio vaccine and how many similarities with COVID and polio. They discovered polio, the cure, or the beginnings of the cure in the 1950s. It really took until like 63 to 65 before they totally perfected it. Okay? And there was a huge incident of a polio a pharmaceutical maker who fucked up and fucked up, you know, the shot, polio shot, and a lot of motherfuckers got polio and they had to go through that. I'm only saying that people are trying to make an intellectual decision on science, and science is just not generally something that's emotional. It's right. 1 + 1 equals 2. Right. There is not a lot of debate on that shit. So right. I'm just saying, I think people are frustrated. Obviously, shout to G for what Kurt G said. But then at the same time, medical professionals, we're just like not understanding. Okay, I get it. You don't want to get the COVID vaccine, but then you catch COVID and want to run to the hospital and still get inoculated with a lot of shit that you don't know nothing about. So it's an intellectual disconnect there for us in medical profession. That's right. All.
So niggas in the medical profession is like, niggas out here eating hot dogs every day, don't know what the fuck is in there. But you niggas don't want to get a vaccine because you don't know what's in there.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
Right.
Yeah.
They're like, and I don't want to compute.
Know, now you know.
So.
Yo, time out, B. This screen is flashing like a motherfucker. I don't know if y'all can see it.
I can see it in the corner. Yeah,
yeah,
I see it.
Yeah, y'all screen is flashing like shit. Yeah, like a strobe light.
Yeah, I hope you don't get vertigo or no shit.
Yeah, it's fucking me up. If you could wiggle the cord, anything, I don't know what the fuck's happening. It's never done this before. Look at that.
There you go.
I just turned off.
Hey, get Kanye in there, yo.
Your man's having dog problems live on the air.
You know Kanye got to be on camera, my nigga. He got to be seen and heard.
He got dog problems live on the air and
he
shit.
He got the new album out and shit.
Now, we ain't talking about that nigga. Fuck that nigga.
That Kanye would see.
Actually, you know what? I think I might know what's flashing. Hold on once, yo. Let me see if I can fix this live on the air.
If it fixed itself with the damn light going off.
It's fixed now. It was killing me. I was trying to be quiet. I was like, I ain't going to say nothing, but it was killing me.
I can't see.
Oh, it's flashing again,
B.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. What's up with that?
Go back to the club lights, B. Oh, turn that on.
He can't see his notes with the lights off in this bitch.
Oh, that's that old man shit.
All right, I'm ready.
It's on your smartphone, B. You can read that, or you got papers.
Yeah.
I got papers. I got it. I have to fucking muddle through it. I might need Kurt G's light in a minute. Okay,
hold on, B. Let's get it right before we even get started.
I know niggas
since
listening.
We already done already fucked up the listeners right now. Already.
Yeah, they like y'all.
Let
niggas.
Me turn on my flashlight on my phone and shit so this nigga can see.
Yeah, people just got. We just trying to do it the best for y'all. That's all. We just trying to do the best we can.
Okay, I'm good. First topic on the Hip Hop Digest is the effervescent and the most wonderful Lox versus Dipset.
The effervescent
and the most wonderful Lox versus Dipset.
You know what's funny about that shit is because we was recording last week when the shit was happening.
Yep.
But good thing is there's plenty of replays out there. I watched that shit, and I think the best analogy that I seen was MCs, lyricists versus rappers. And I thought that was so apropos, because what the Lox did, in particular Jada Kiss, who absolutely went bananas and pointed out all the flaws during the program. And we know the Lox, it was more, and we know the Lox, we know Jada Kiss and Styles P and them niggas show up on plenty of trap records, plenty of R&B, plenty of commercial records. We know that. But at the heart of what they are, at the heart of what they've always been, is MCs and lyricists. And that showed so clearly, you know, Jewels and Jimmy and them niggas, they couldn't get shit jumping. And then poor Cam, who still left with his reputation intact. Don't get me wrong. Yo, Cam is still nice. But my God, what a route. What a route. And those of us who are just really, it was almost to one of the rare chances that we get to say to people, you like all that commercial shit? Well, there's no one more commercial. There's no one more ready to do anything for a dollar than Dipset. That's the way Cam ran it. That's the way Cam set it up. Shout out to JC. He's talking about that. Talking about, I wonder why Cam, when he was setting up Dipset. And this is a question for you, G. Why did he pick the guys he picked for Dipset? There were better MCs in Harlem that Cam could have got. I was thinking about a guy like McGriff. I'm like, well, I wonder why he wouldn't pick somebody like McGriff. You know what I'm saying? Or somebody like Jay Mills. There are better lyricists, okay? But he picked those guys because you know why? Because there was no threat to Cam ever being out-rapped by any of those guys on the squad, number one. And number two, they were just like, again, trained SEALs. All they got to do is show up and do what they're told. But maybe I'm wrong. I know a lot of people are like, yo, nigga, Juelz, yo, he alright and shit. But come on.
Well, B, I might have to disagree with you.
Indeed.
Only in this. I think Cam and Jimmy are genuinely friends. And go back a long way.
Indeed.
So right. It don't have anything to do with music. And so I don't think that the reason why he's part of that isn't that. Now, Juelz maybe. So he might have came along somewhere along the line. But I know Cam and Jimmy go way back.
Okay. But I'm just saying, but all in all, I just think the aspect of MCs, I mean, guys who really do this and are about the craft versus, I mean, what do you think about Jimmy as an MC? And Jimmy got solo joints out there. I listened to a couple of cuts on Jimmy's last two joints. What do you think about Jimmy?
Well, Jimmy, to be dead ass, Jimmy's gotten better over time. He has, compared to when he was back there with that ball and shit. That nigga was horrible. But he's gotten better, but he's still not that good, in my opinion.
I haven't seen anybody control a crowd, really, Masters of Ceremony, the way Jada Kiss did. I haven't seen anybody do that since KRS-One. I mean, Nay, he totally controlled the room. He totally had the forum just totally in the palm of his hand. And Dipset couldn't get any traction. Swerve, you kind of quiet on this.
I was waiting for my turn, my nigga. After looking at some background of the whole thing, I think it was an ambush. Almost everybody younger than me that I looked at thought Dipset was going to win.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're crazy. the whole time. You're crazy. But here's what I saw, but didn't give the weight that those younger than me gave it. Dipset crew got a lot of hit radio records, right? You could play them records and every young lady you know will be rapping them shits right with them and the whole nine. And some of them love Jimmy, some of them love Cameron, some of them, you know, the whole nine. They were going that way, right? And the Lox, if you didn't know, they had practiced like 3 weeks. They was practicing for three weeks before this shit. What you also need to also realize is Jada has been in one of these before, right?
Right, yes.
And also, you have to realize, Jada has been in a real battle-tested, like Rams running up against each other
with Bea Siegel. Yes.
Right? So, I'm looking at the whole thing looking like, yeah, this is going to be a massacre. The Lox are going to kill these cats. And they did. I just didn't realize that Jada was going to just become the persona of that shit. You know what I'm saying? He took it to a whole nother level. And there was a lot of testosterone. And as I watched the replay, I was thinking, damn, it's going to be some bullshit. You know what I'm saying? God damn, why is it going to come to this? But also, I didn't realize that they had talked amongst each other. Yeah, we gonna be chippy. It's gonna, you know, we gonna do this. So it was a whole lot of testosterone, alpha male shit going on that stage. And they got it done. But the difference is, as I said, that radio shit that the Dipset is well paid for and well known for doesn't translate in a battle, or it's not a battle, I'll say a versus. It didn't translate when you got the Lox, who are just grimy rhyming MCs, right? And you got the Lox, who is like, yeah, we them Harlem drug dealing niggas, you know, we saucy,
right? Dipset. But that was again the personification of, I think. It was gratifying for me. It was gratifying for a lot of us who were saying that's the difference. Dipset are rap guys, in my opinion, but the Lox eat as a group and as individuals, lyricists and art and MCs. And that's the difference. And in a stage show that's already set up for Dipset to come out and just do their records, Dipset can shine mightily. Okay,
right. If it was Gladys Knight versus Patti LaBelle type, where they just sitting there playing the records, it would have been a different show.
Right. Right. But boy, the exposure when Kiss was like, these niggas rhyming over their words, you know. What an indictment. Indictment.
Snoop and DMX did it. There's other people that did it. It translated into a wonderful win for Jada, but in actuality, I mean, it's not a battle, yo. It's a versus. Or is it a battle now?
Well, no, look, I think it translates into, again, like you said, I think people younger and Dipset fans are just no way. You know what I'm saying? Purple Gang. There's no way that we can lose. You know what I'm saying? And some of the intangibles that we know about hip hop. Okay? That's why certain people only can come out to a Taylor stage show and pre-set up. They just can't hit... You know, I used to use the example all the time. Leave your management, leave your stage show, your light crew. Show up in the basement over instrumental to dance to the drummer's beat. Let's see who goes. Okay? Yeah. Your commercial MC, your bloated MC can't go. You know what I mean? It's guys like the Lox who've been on plenty of commercial shit. A lot of Mariah Carey shit. You know what I mean? But they kept that craft up.
And let's not forget, people, they was trying to clown talking about the fucking shiny suits. And as though, as fucked up as an image as that is, we know what that was. And you know that ain't the locks. So I was dismissing anybody that was telling me that Dipset was going to win. I was like, okay.
So, yes, that was, I thought it was absolutely great. I got to be honest with you. That's, at this point, it's probably my greatest verses ever. I just loved it.
Wow.
Forget about,
and everything. Yes. Preem. Everything. Everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I got to add one thing also, as far as this goes. For all the people down south that had a chip on their shoulder because niggas go up north and get booed.
Oh.
If you watch the verses, Cam got booed. New York niggas don't give a fuck who you are, where you from. But they're going to boo
you. But gee, how many times we done said that?
I'm just saying, but they saw it in person for themselves. Right. Niggas telling you that shit is one thing. But to actually see it and see one of New York's fucking homebred niggas be like, wow, they booed that nigga and he's big?
Yes.
They booed that nigga? Wow. Yes.
Down south niggas, Atlanta niggas need that. They need that, Brett.
South got something to say.
No, I'm sorry, but to me, them niggas need that shit. Okay?
I mean, that chip on the shoulder helped them as far as helping them to win. They still winning. It helped them to get to the level they are. But I'm just saying that, so you can see that niggas ain't just telling you that shit just to say some shit to try to calm you down. No, that shit's real deal. These niggas don't give a fuck. They will boo you and don't give a fuck where you from.
Exactly.
From a different borough, you're getting booed.
If you're from the same borough, you're getting booed, nigga. If your shit ain't tight and they don't feel it's right, you get booed.
That's true.
So, no doubt. So anyway, as we continue on, next topic in Hip Hop Digest is Beanie Siegel on the Drink Champs on the Nori Show was a 3-hour extravaganza. I had to break it up, but I actually listened to the entire interview and it was absolutely glorious.
You are glowing in this bitch today.
Yes.
You're talking about that best verses you heard and this shit's glowing?
Right. Damn.
Absolutely glorious in the fact that everything that I personally suspected about Beanie Siegel is true. That he is genuine and truthful, and he talked about a lot of different issues on Nori's show. The only thing I can say about Nori, I like Nori's show. I just wish that Nori sometimes would not interrupt. Because Beans was really going into detail and then Nori would just keep interrupting. And I wanted to say, like, Nori, shut the fuck up. Let Beans talk.
Maybe he was trying to keep Beans from exposing some shit.
Maybe. Maybe. But obviously, they knew each other, obviously, from being in the industry. I'll get into it. He's like, first thing they got into was on modern day hip hop lacking substance. Beans also agreed, saying that today's hip hop, commercial rap, if you will, doesn't really have any substance. And Beans goes, you know, where I'm from, it's about people dropping jewels and, you know, having real something substantive to say. Now, with that being said, people will always say, oh, the early rap niggas wasn't saying nothing. It was just party raps. Okay. I get it. You okay? But we got to a point where you really did have a lot more Public Enemy or NWA or anybody you can think of on a level of real substantive music. That's where Beans comes from, you know, and his music reflected that. The next thing they talked about was performing live at the Hard Knock Life Tour. Nori pointed out, and I never knew this, that the Hard Knock Life Tour was the only tour that was apparently 100% owned and operated and ran as African Americans.
Yes. Wow.
All shows, promoters. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I watched the Hard Knock Life documentary they did.
Okay.
So I watched that shit, so I knew about that.
So Beans is up there saying that, you know, this is his first time on tour. You know, he don't know nothing about that shit. And he's like, if I go out there and I get booed, it's over. You know what I mean? But he was like, you know, once it got around to the third date, he was like, there were guys, Redman, Method Man, DMX, were all watching his show. He's like, yeah, I ain't never seen them niggas watch Hov's show, but they watched my show. Coming off the stage, he was like, Busta Rhymes gave him a pound. He was like, damn, nigga, you know, and all them other niggas giving him a pound. And we know DMX, you know, legendary live shows, but he was like, all those cats really, they respected Beans. Again, because Beans is really an excellent MC, you know, so.
Oh, no doubt.
That was great. The next thing they talked about was on him helping discover Just Blaze. And that was literally, he said he's looking for beats for his record. And he's in Dame Dash's office. And Dame Dash is throwing away CDs or whatever. And Beans is like, hold up, man. I want to listen to this shit. Beans like, I don't want to leave. I don't want to miss nothing. Your boy Just Blaze CD in the trash.
Just Blaze?
Yeah, Justin Blaze's CDs in the trash. And Beans gets it out of the trash, hears it, and was like, oh, wait, whatever's on this shit, I need this shit.
Wow.
So I know Just Blaze, you know, owes a huge debt of gratitude to one Beanie Siegel. I think the most important thing that they talked about up there was Beans' personal responsibility. And Beans said that he is the poster boy for when keeping it real goes wrong.
Rental car?
Hey, man, he said and took and we all and I always knew this about Beans. Again, took responsibility. The majority of his career up there was he was all leaned out. A drug addict, leaned out. You know, guys like Cam trying to give him game. Guy, you know, Jay trying to, you know, foster, you know. He's a grown man. I mean, they not telling a grown man what to do, but he was around enough people and had enough knowledge being thrown at him if he was of mind to be in a totally different position that he is in currently.
Beans Rummy, you know, like if there was, if I could make twins, I could make him a twin with Warren Sapp. They have the same kind of story to me. Amazing at what they do, but not quite refined enough to know the ledge.
Right.
Remember that video of Beans at a concert? They was on a stage somewhere, him, Jay-Z, all them, and
yeah,
he jumped off the stage to go fight people. It's just like, you know, like he said, when keeping it real goes wrong.
No doubt.
He, personification of it.
Right. He also talked about the time that he was on trial, you know, long list of charges or whatever, and people were coming to his trial. Dame Dash was coming. Beyonce even showed up. I think Mariah Carey. I mean, there's a lot of people who showed up at his trial. They were generally concerned with Beans. But he talked about a critical apex where the judge asked Jay-Z, would you be personally responsible for his whereabouts? And Jay-Z said, nope.
Do you blame him, though?
No.
Especially the way that nigga was wild.
No, and then and Beans said, you know, that the... Beans really explained, but we already kind of knew this, that he was buying that whole, you know, family shit, that whole nigga I got you shit.
Oh yeah.
He bought into that, but he also said, but I wasn't taking responsibility.
Right.
You know, how
absolutely,
how can them, and also said that you could tell early on that Jay was on a mission. And he couldn't take everybody with him. He was like, when you on the type of mission that Jay on, a lot of niggas is getting left behind. And that was the apex, I think, of the conversation where they got into the breakup of Rockefeller. And Beans was like, you could see it. You could feel it. Like, hardly nobody is coming to the office. It's like nobody showing up at the lab, you know, no guidance, no nothing. And Jay and them niggas ain't even talking to each other, you know. But he was like, Jay already knew that niggas had to be left behind because he's on a mission. He's on a special mission, and not everybody, including himself, you know, himself. So it was a great interview, crazy long, but very informative, especially again when it gets to the inner workings and him having a front row seat to Rockefeller, the Rockefeller dynasty. That whole shit, it's absolutely incredible. I encourage people to listen to it, to go back and listen to it, break it up if you got to. It was very engaging.
This is hard for me to listen to those things or even watch them, because I'm the type of nigga that just want to do the whole thing at once. I can't break it up because I'm not going to be able to just listen for 20 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour and then stop. And then come back. I want to listen to the whole three. And I'm like, man, I ain't got that 3 hours on that shit to be sitting here listening to this shit like that. That's why a lot of times I don't even be fucking with it.
Well, again, I think, and this is not a criticism. It's just an observation. It really becomes 3 hours because they don't let the interviewee really tell the story. Nori is always interjecting. Nori's always, yo, let's get a drink to this, pushing the whole drink aspect of drink chance.
He's got to push his narrative, and he's got to make that show what it is.
Yeah, right, no doubt. I mean, a lot of P. Diddy liquor, a lot of that shit, so, you know, that type of thing, so, you know.
You know he's in it for it.
Oh, look, I mean, don't get me wrong, Nori, you know, Nori's doing what he got to do, you know what I'm saying, and he's well paid. Exactly. And congratulations to Nori. He's quite an engaging person, unlike others.
He found his niche.
Yes, unlike others.
And to me, I'm thinking of
unlike us.
That's funny. But speaking of what you call him earlier, I just forgot his damn name. You just fucked up my train of thought. Jada Kiss is what I was gonna think of. Jada Kiss needs to take this 15 seconds of showing niggas that he's very engaging and can rule a crowd and control a crowd and take it and get his own fucking podcast or show or whatever and take it and run with that shit, because he could do it.
Fat Joe said the price went up.
Oh, no. Indeed. All right, as we keep it moving, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is rest in everlasting peace to Chucky Thompson.
Yeah, damn.
Sir. Wow. DMV.
Yes, sir. Famous hip hop producer passed away at 53. We talked about it at the top of the show. He lost his battle with COVID-19. I'm telling you. I'm just telling you. Take it easy out there. Protect yourself.
Oh, protect your neck?
As best you can. But anyway, like Igri said, obviously he hails from Washington, D.C. His government name, Carl E. Thompson. Obviously, mostly known for being a member of the Hitmen. That is Puffy's in-house production team. You really almost can say that him and that production team was the sound of 90s R&B.
Pretty much.
I mean, point blank.
Everybody was biting.
Boy, Jacko even came calling.
Man, look, everybody was biting, but they were biting because it's like, it's hard to see Usher to get a beat from the Hitman and be like, God damn, you know? And then the long list of R&B accolades is too numerous to name on this show, but I'd say Chucky Thompson, obviously himself, a very talented producer, got his start obviously with the legendary Chuck Brown, an In a Go-Go Band. Of course, being from the district, you wouldn't expect anything else. Great hip-hop bona fides. I just picked out a few records. Notorious B.I.G. Dead Wrong, Flavor in Your Ear Remix, Craig Mack, obviously Big Papa, Nas is One Mic, You know, Big Rush, obviously known, shout to Big Rush. He must have known Chucky Thompson on a personal level. Young Guru, obviously, with a lot of people, former artists, obviously Coons and everybody else. A huge loss for them, huge loss from their team. We say, Chucky Thompson, salute to you.
And what's crazy about that whole thing is I just, like a couple months ago, just watched the Mary J. Blige special that she had put out. And Chucky was on there with her, and they was talking how when Chucky came in and just made, she like, he brought that something out of her and gave her that sound. I was like, damn.
Well, Chucky was actually, he was more, that's what I'm saying, it's a producer, wasn't more than a beat maker. He was actually a, in the classic style of Quincy Jones, an actual producer, you know, which is much different than a beat maker. So again, we salute Chucky Thompson. Rest in everlasting paradise, King.
Hey, Fat Joe. Chucky Thompson is up there with Quincy Jones.
Indeed. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest. We don't do sports that often. The NFL Hall of Fame was this past weekend. And it was one person out of, you know, shout to Harold Carmichael. No doubt. But this is not what we're talking about. You're not talking. Who's that? Young Adonis?
What's good, baby?
All right. So, yeah, I just wanted to get that in there. Edgerrin James. You know, I tell you what, man, I was not proud, isn't the word, but I just had a smile on my face the way Edgerrin James represented and the way he represented himself. Edgerrin James, who really, you know, he is a Florida nigga.
Oh, yeah.
Through and through. And, you know, during his Hall of Fame, the whole situation, he talked about his bias against him his whole career from coming out of Florida wearing dreads. At this time in the league was new, was real new. So your man got gold teeth, he got dreads, and everybody is like, this cat is going to be in jail outside of 6 months. Okay, but they didn't know him. He was never locked up. He never got in trouble his whole NFL career. All right, but he goes on, the actual statement, it said, people looked at my gold teeth and dreads and were shocked and surprised that I'd never been under arrest or spent time in jail. Okay, he was like, so many people told me that you can't have dreads and gold teeth and be accepted in the NFL. But I never listened to them. Obviously, he said, I'm a Florida native through and through. Obviously, he was a great football player, a great father, and a proud black man. Okay? He looked at his gold jacket, and he said that I deem myself inmate number 336 in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I started out with gold teeth and ended with a gold jacket. I was like, hell, man, I was like, hell yeah. You know what I mean?
And you didn't even mention the issue about his bust with the deluxe.
Well, no, and well, he did. Right, that was an issue because people were saying, you can't do that. You can't do that. He was like, but anything else, me, that's not who I am. That's not how I looked, you know? Exactly. So, but this is a couple of stories quickly. He has 6 children and raised all his children himself. The mother of 4 of his children passed away from leukemia when she was 30. Okay? But he raised all his children. And by all measure, all his children seem to be quite successful. College, you know, bound or college graduates, all doing very well for themselves, you know? But he was like, if you look at me, and again, talking about the bias, they would like, nah, this nigga, you know, just on his looks, you know. And
just a little asterisk though. College don't make you successful, B, because there's a lot of successful plumbers and truckers and HVAC people that didn't go to college, but they are doing something with themselves.
Well, no, but again, like I said, I don't think it even really was about college for him. I think it was just about that, just generally. If you didn't know who he was, and even if you knew who he was,
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The about way him, he yeah. looked, you know, yeah. generally people were thinking, oh, yeah, he's going to be one of them dumb niggas, but he was never
Didn't they put in the hair as part of your uniform because of him? That you could grab people by their locks and tackle them?
I don't know about that.
I thought it was
Palomalu and all them niggas.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
They brought that shit in because of them
Palomalu
niggas.
Palomalu was on defense.
I know he was, but I mean, but niggas was... He was complaining about niggas grabbing his hair and shit.
It might have been Ricky Williams. It was either Ricky Williams or Edrin James. It was one of the two of them. The Lehman Brothers would get us straight, but it was one of them two that brought that rule in there.
Okay. And then one more story of Edrin James. And I think this was told by Tony Dungy, but I could be wrong, where Edrin James actually had come to him and was like, yo, I'm really worried about where the section about from Florida where I'm from. He was like, it was generally, it's a good neighborhood, but he was like, yo, it's trap niggas in there now, you know, and I'm worried about that. So, you know, Tony Dungy said nobody ever knew this story. Didn't even know that he ended up buying that property, ended up buying the block, right? Evicting them drug selling niggas and put up, you know, like playgrounds and a community center. You know, but it was no publicity and nobody ever knew he did it.
There you go.
So that's why I had to point out Edrin James, you know, in just the highest regard, you know,
salute.
For that brother. Salute. That's that golf clap thing right
yes,
there.
Sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Indeed. No doubt. All right. As we keep it rocking, next topic on Hip Hop Digest is quickly. And I'm saying this because I'm thinking last week, and I know it's hard to remember show to show, but last week, did we talk about Nas's King's Disease?
We did not.
We did not. So Nas put out King's Disease 2, all right? Put out King's Disease 2. I haven't listened to it. I'm going to, DJ Q posted on the text chain that it was crazy fire. Be generally, I'm kind of like swerving with that. I like to wait for a lot of shit to die down.
Thank you.
So I go into it not expecting and with a clearer mind. Okay.
Right. So when is this going to be homework?
Well,
that's what I want to know.
No,
is it next week or the week after?
No, I mean, it may be longer than that. I'm just saying. But the point I really wanted to put out, the King's Disease come out, and this is producer related. Your boy Hit Boy sending some subliminals over there to Kanye West. You know, in a way that I'm getting it done with Nas, you couldn't get it done. You know, and I'm not a Kanye supporter. You know what I'm saying? I oppose everything that got to do with that brother. Absolutely everything, because I think that what he did is just unconscionable. But I digress.
Where's he going?
No,
right.
I'm not going to. I'm just saying, you know, I'm still saying, is Hit Boy starting to develop? This is the question. A swollen head a little bit here.
Kurt, excuse me, sir. I'm going to let you finish. King Killer.
My man.
You can clearly tell that you haven't heard this motherfucking album.
I have not.
Even at that, when you hear this album, your shoulders are gonna lower a little bit. Cause you sitting up there right now, your shoulders high, nigga. Your shoulders high, all worried about what Hit Boy thinking.
Okay.
But when you hear this album, you're not gonna give a fuck with Soulja Hit Boy. You're not gonna give a fuck what he thinking about. Your shoulders are gonna relax. And you're going to get into this album. That's
wow.
all I'm going to say.
Okay, see, that's
so,
why.
So fuck all the fanfare.
Okay.
You need to listen to this album sooner than later.
Oh, see. Wow. Gee, have you heard it?
No, that's why I said, when is it going to be homework? Either this week or next week. Let me know so I can listen to it.
I'm assuming you heard it, Swerve.
I heard the album twice all the way through.
All right. Next week's homework assignment is King's Disease 2.
So I will listen to it this week so that way I'll be ready.
Wow. I just was kind of curious. Is he starting to get a little swole head a little bit?
Don't be worried about that.
Right. Because I was getting ready to shut you down just a little bit because I'm like, Hit Boy was doing it long before he was fucking with Nas. So it did. He should have. He could have been had a swole head long before he was fucking with Nas. If he was actually going.
Head. Well, no, he couldn't have a swole head because even though he was doing it way before Nas, and I don't mean this is the apex of his career, but Hit Boy was never mentioned in that Kanye, Pharrell, get your man. Although Hit Boy done produced plenty of records that sold and made plenty of money. He was already a millionaire as he entered into this Nas venture. So no disrespect to him, but he wasn't mentioned in those names. And maybe he's feeling like, you know what? You know, y'all niggas was underestimating me. I've been out here working and producing and been quite consistent. Okay.
Maybe we were underestimating.
It's very well possible.
Y'all gonna see. Y'all gonna see for yourself. And we'll discuss it.
Next week, homework assignment. I better get that thing tonight and get right to it then. So, no doubt. All right, as we keep it rocking, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is a little bit of financial digest. Renowned journalist and HBCU professor Nicole Hannah-Jones took your boy Hove and Will Smith to task.
Uh-oh.
Said they got this venture that they invested in about rent-to-own and trying to hook up low-income housing people to get their own homes. She said that shit ain't nothing but predatory style payday loan shit that Hove and Will Smith invested in. Mm. He said it takes wealth to own a home. And he said all you're doing, Jay-Z and Will Smith, is charging poor homeowners, which is nothing more than predatory lending.
Damn, is she mad at Warwick Dunn? Is she mad at Oprah?
So,
or is it just Will and...
Now, I'm going to defend Warwick Dunn because Warwick Dunn is building homes and giving them. Here, it's yours. Okay? That's a Habitat Humanity type shit. Mm-hmm. No, here's the keys, B. Apparently, Will and Hove got this credit counseling service jump off, okay, which is supposed to be, you know, it's not like they saying, okay, here's the credit counseling thing. If you make an income under a certain amount, you come in the classes and we'll look at your finances free of charge. Okay, they're charging for that, all right? Can people who can't already afford a house afford to be paying them fees on credit counseling versus, again, you said Warwick Dunn style?
Yeah, I thought there was a law against that anyway. I thought you couldn't charge to help people with their credit. I may be wrong, but I thought there was a law.
No, the credit counseling services is a billion-dollar industry. Why you think they're investing their money into that? You know what I'm saying? What she's saying is that it's not applicable to low-income folk. You know what I'm saying?
Basically saying these niggas, even if they got A-plus credit, they got low income, so they can't even afford to move in to the house to begin with.
I don't know, yo. It's a double-edged sword because you have people who just who may have the finances but don't have the numbers on their credit scores or what have you. Not everybody that doesn't have a lot of not everybody that doesn't own a house is fucked up.
No, let me read this exactly. She says, what the program does is charge struggling people additional fees for being poor. Basically amounts to that's what every other predatory lender does. That's what it gets down to.
But they're not lending these people any money. They're charging them to help them put themselves in a better position. No,
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's one of those financial advisor type things. Okay. If you make us, you want to buy a home, okay, and you may not have the true income to buy a home, but what we're going to do is you come to the firm. We charge you whatever we charge you. This is what we're going to do to get your finances in order and this, that, and the third. Now, she's saying, if you're already poor, why are you going to pay out additional fees? And we're not talking about, like, small-time fees here.
Well, somebody, let's just sum this shit up. If somebody's that fucked up in the game, they're not going to do that anyway. They're not going to go sign up for a fucking program that's going to take money away from their fucking mobile phone or from their fucking cable or whatever the fuck they do have that they have some type of joy out of with their at that point in their life. So it would take somebody who is probably borderline, right, that wants better and maybe can say, I don't need them Jordans. I need to get a house.
But the problem is that this is specifically set up for the rent-to-own housing program, okay? So basically, it's set up for a specific type of person. She's saying that this is the type of poor ex... Like, rich people don't need payday loan spots.
Of course not.
No, but I'm just saying. But that's why payday loan spots are in hoods.
Yes, absolutely.
And she's saying that this is predicated on the same principle. They're not setting up this joint in wealthy areas and charging, you know, wealthy folks. Now, we're going to do, you know, we're a blue chip stock affiliated, you know, that type of thing. They're set up in hoods. And with the Will Smith and Jay-Z name possibly attached to it comes a lot of trust. Okay. And you used to get on Russell Simmons about that shit.
What do you have? Rush card?
Yeah.
Oh, $5. We'll give you $5.
But you used to get on Rush about that same shit.
I still will. That's predatory. Absolutely. But I, what is it? Okay. Again, looking big picture. Somebody who is eating Chinese food and McDonald's and whatever and paying their phone bill and not. And skipping calls from the car dealer or whatever, they're not going to worry about that shit, B.
That's people who ain't buying homes. I get it, but there are people who are low income and who want to buy homes and are saying, okay, damn, if I can just get over this hump in which normally regular lenders. Obviously, I'm sorry, Mr. Jones, Mrs. Jones, you can't get this, that, and the third. Where if a lender would just be like, okay, look, this is how we're going to set it up. We're going to put you in the home. These are your payments, et cetera, et cetera. She's saying, again, unlike the Warwick Dunn who's just handing over keys, Hov and them niggas is charging. That's all.
I mentioned Warwick Dunn because I was wondering if this lady was just looking at everybody who's giving people houses. I was mad. Like, damn, Oprah's just giving people houses with no understanding of what that entails. You know what I'm saying? At that time, I was like, damn, that's kind of crazy. They should give them some classes. First of all, Jay-Z and Will Smith are not going to be out here talking, giving these fucking classes.
No, hell no. No.
They're putting their name on some shit that very well potentially, if people... And I don't know the program. I would need to look at the program to see over time from where it was to now.
Right.
Is it successful? Is it helping?
Right, yeah. I got to be honest with you. We can't make a determination here on this show at this point in time. But it is worth looking at in the future to see exactly what the program is, what the program does. This is just something that I've seen. It's very rare. And the reason why I picked it out, it's very rare that you see Hov getting criticized for financial... You know, everything he touches turns to gold. And the fact that Will Smith is on board, and it's just like, wow, you know, what is this? And she's like, the way she saw the program set up, it's just basically a new style payday loan shit.
That sounds very sensational. I'm gonna have to look into it.
Yes, sir.
I'm not gonna give him the bad mouth yet.
Yes,
on that.
Yes, sir. And I agree with that.
That's why I was quiet over here, because I really don't have too much to add on it. Because like you said, you don't really see, especially Will Smith, the Golden Boy. You don't really see them niggas, him especially, attaching himself to some shit like this. Anything that's gonna sully his name. And like said, Jay-Z shit, he's been on fire. Pretty much everything is turning up gold. So I can't see him actually trying to ruin his shit on some old fire fucking festival shit.
Well, you know, let me tell you something.
I can't see him doing that to himself, but it could happen to anybody.
The fact that they know who this college professor is, I think the phone call's already made to adjust the program, and we won't hear anything other criticisms going forward, I bet.
You think they're going to bring her in?
The OG call was made?
Come on, sis, you're making us look bad out here.
Right.
Put that shit down.
Right, like you said, I think the call's already been made, and we won't hear any further news regarding this subject. And speaking of the Financial Digest, we're going to run through the quick hip-hop, not even hip-hop, black billionaires quickly. Basically, the names we know already. The top of the list is Robert Smith. He's coming in at about $6 billion, 58-year-old. Obviously, private equity, finance, that type of thing. You, of course, that type of money. Yeah, why not? $6 billion. Next on that list is David Stewart. Okay, he's coming in at $3.7 billion. The 69-year-old business IT provider, private equity, et cetera, blue chip all the way. You know, he's falling down on money. Next on the list is Harpo Winfrey. Well, you know her game, $2.7 billion. We already know what that's all about. Next on that list, and here's where I'm having some trouble, Kanye West at $1.8 billion. It's kind of hard to see that. They're saying music, Yeezy, fashion,
niggas is
retail.
Buying that shit.
Yeah, man. Obviously. I mean, wow. You know, $1.8 billion, that's absolutely incredible. African Americans, we should not support anything that has to do with this gentleman.
Maybe it's not a bunch of African Americans supporting this nigga.
Obviously. You know, it's Swerve always talks about that. Not really Swerve. You know who really talks about that? My man, who is a New York City school teacher, always talks about kids unprepared in class, no notebooks, no pencils, but they got J's on, they got them Yeezys, all them the slides, shit, crazy. So I don't know. Next on that list is who knew, but I guess Rihanna, $1.7 billion. Who's buying her shit?
Fenty
son is selling, my nigga.
Okay, all right, there you go. Yeah. There you go. Next on the list is Jordan, 1.6. You know it, Charlotte Hornets shoes. I mean, he's another one who's, you know, a lot of these cats is off that Scrooge McDuck, yo, just diving in money and shit. And next on the list, obviously, we already talked about him enough. Hove, $1.4 billion. Obviously, media business mogul. Like Beanie Siegel said, he wasn't gonna take everybody. He had a mission. And then last on the list, not last on the list, but I wasn't going any further than that. Tyler Perry at a flush $1 billion. Obviously, movies and television and entertainment. There you got it, the black bullion.
I'm baffled, B, that I didn't hear the name Byron Allen on that list.
I too was curious, but I didn't have enough time pre-show to get his Wikipedia to see where he was as far as his estimated finances. But yes, I expected,
because we know what he owns.
Well, actually, it was two people. It was Byron Allen and Bob Johnson were the two people I didn't. I'm just like, damn, Byron Allen, Bob Johnson?
I thought Bob Johnson would slide down by now, but not that's Byron Allen.
Yeah, I agree with that. We'll have to check that after the show.
Yeah, sure. It's like, damn. I'm waiting. I was like, damn. Do they, Byron Allen below Jeezy?
All these things.
Jeezy? Excuse me.
Jeezy?
Yeah.
Easy, man. Easy.
But I'm thinking they don't put everybody on the list.
It can't, because Byron Allen owns a lot of the TV that everybody watches.
After the show, I'm curious now. Gotta check that and whatnot. All right, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, you know, we talked about the Nori show and, you know, obviously the respect that we have for Nori show, because this really is a great show. Obviously, you know, every show, you know, ours included, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Felipe's Garage, everything, you know what I'm saying? We tend to give love, you know what I'm saying? We tend to give love to other cast, you know what I'm saying? Because we all in the same game, you know what I mean? Yeah. Different opinions, different outlooks, but we all in the same game, you know, same gang, if you will. Except for this one cat.
Wow. you just went ahead and singled somebody out.
It's just one cat, yo. This is DJ Academics, okay?
Oh. Wow. What game is he in then? I want to hear what game he's in.
Well, you know, DJ Academics is the one cat. The one cat. I mean, there's a lot of podcasts. People have podcasts, pick them up and put them down. Ice-T, Shaq, and, you know, it's all good. You know what I mean? As far as I'm concerned, it's all good. Everybody has something to bring to the game. But your man DJ Academics basically went on a hard rant against Charlamagne Tha God and his podcast, and along with Rory and Mal, their new podcast, as they broke away from Joe Budden. And I'm like, yo, this cat really, first of all, he was clucking because he ended up at number two behind Joe Rogan on the Spotify podcast list. Okay. Ooh. And first of all, Rogan, you know what I'm saying?
There's a lot of niggas behind Joe Rogan.
Well, he's a Trump type cult figure. At the end of the day, you know, I got my, you know, but only Rogan. Before a guy like Rogan, it was the guy, he's from here, Howard Stern. You know, he's one of them guys. He's going to make $1 trillion just because he has a type of person who listens to people who listen to him, and that's what it is. And we know and have discussed on this show a lot that media companies are not putting money in the hands of African-American podcasters this side of Michelle Obama. You know, other than that, that's about it. But why is Act? He's very successful at basically just trying to just dismiss and drown out other African-American podcasters, no matter who they be, big, small, big, medium, or otherwise.
Well, in the case of those two, that's personal. So I can see why he's going at that.
Oh, Charlamagne and or Rory and Mal.
Yeah, I can see him going at that.
Rory and Mal, because he was like off that, y'all niggas just got fired, come pass and wash my cars type shit.
It's personal for those two. I don't know where the beef came with him and Charlamagne. Maybe
I don't know.
Button is tight. I don't know.
So, but this is a cat who really is a first-class troller. Very successful, I might add. And specifically, you know, African-American. That's where I'm getting at, B. You know, so he came in second to Rogan, but he ain't dissing Rogan. Boy, it's crickets in this piece.
Yeah, I really got nothing to say about that cat, yo. I don't know. He good for him, get money. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what else to say about that dude, man.
He's, like you said, B, you hit one nail right on the head when you mentioned it in passing. He is definitely a first-class troll. That's what he does all day, every day. And he trolls any and everybody. He doesn't care as long as it's going to get him some eyeballs or some listens, some likes, or whatever the fuck. But that makes his money go up.
No doubt. I guess I feel like I know how the industry is biased against most African-American podcasts out there. It's only a handful of them who's really making money anyway. You know what I mean? Like that. You know, it's probably the Norris and the Charlemagne's or whatever. And I don't know what kind of deals they got. But it's only a handful. You know what I'm saying? And I wouldn't be mad no matter who it was. Even Joe Budden's. And I like the Budden's podcast. And I know Joe... It's made more personal issues with Joe than any malice that he may have had against any other podcasters. But, you know what I'm saying? I'm not mad. I root for all of these guys. You know, I remember rooting heavily for Combat Jack. You know what I'm saying? Rest in peace. That, you know, I thought he'd be the, you know, the lead to really bust out there and be, for lack of a better words, the African-American Joe Rogan, if you will. We need that, and, you know. We need that within reason. You don't want nobody like Whitlock or some of these other nut niggas up there on that shit. But generally, we need that. And media companies do not put the money behind us. You know?
Well, why you got to ask for somebody else to put it behind you, B? Because there's plenty of trillions in the black community.
You just named off a bunch of billionaires.
Well, in that case, a person who wasn't on there, because it's basically Revolt TV who's got Nori up, so I'm sure Coombs somewhere saying...
he's somewhere saying, take that.
He's trying to get his name on that list.
I'm not involved in that.
He's trying to get his name on that list.
I'm not involved in that opinion.
Believe me, when he does, everybody gonna know.
No doubt. So, yeah, but you got a point there. All the billionaires on that list. Yeah, so you got a good point there. All right, I guess we're going to be ready for Kerji's World Famous then, right?
All right.
Kerji's World Famous Albums of the Week.
All right. This week, we got Currency and the Alchemist Covert Coup. That's Currency and the Alchemist Covert Coup. And then we got Rashid Chappelle, 15 Minutes in Queens. That's Rashid Chappelle, 15 Minutes in Queens.
That's my man right there.
Yeah, that's not bad. It's a short 15-minute project, but it's hot.
All right, no doubt. So, again, before we get out, next week's homework assignment is King's Disease Dos.
Yes, sir.
We will get into it, and we'll see if the swollen head remains. I guess it'll be the swollen head versus the high shoulders. Peace, I'm out.
One. Peace.
His grandfather was a soldier, so it ran in his blood. When wartime came, he didn't panic a budge. Kissed his mother on the cheek, gave his father a hug. Hopped in a plane, headed overseas, handed a gun. Soon as he landed in the land of sand and the sun, at home his mother prayed daily, both knees on the rug. Father watching CNN, staring at the screen. Another chopper down, two dead Marines. And what was he to think? Both names unreleased. Thoughts racing through his head right then, the phone rings. Picture the suspense as he turns towards his wife, just in time to see the first tears from eyes. And he said, everything's gonna be alright. But nothing was alright that night. The voice in the phone said he was brave and died for a cause. And he'll never be forgotten, he'll survive through us all. Pregnant wife stared at the sky. Raindrops wiped the tears off her face as she cried. The flag got folded, 21 shots. Soldiers march on with more bodies drop. And still nobody here heard a word from the president. The residence never was disturbed. He was never on the front lines. He ain't have to lose a family member for those lies. Why is this? Why is that? Why is it that they silence the facts? How come we never stand up and fight for what's right? Instead we all fall for their lies like the towers. Let's rise like smoke from the ashes. Rekindle the flames that spark the first cannons. Regroup, unite, change and establish a better way of living instead of being so so savage.
Some shit, cause the nigga ain't ever really have a pot to piss inside of. I was kinda hot-headed, and I was a type that quickly put the ratchet up to you. Nigga be a hard-headed, and I never learned till the motherfucker catch up to you. All the folk in the neighborhood did their very best to really come try. Teach us every time they bounce, they return just to catch us on the corner, smoking them reefers. Do a lot of dirt, do a lot of crime on the block for bread. While the older folk on their way home from church, every single time they see us, they shaking their head. At the time when a nigga really needed some money, you know a nigga really followed deception. All the older gangsters thought a nigga needed direction. So when them gangsters looked at the little nigga and they really seen their reflection, niggas gave me the tray, eight special, said a nigga needed protection. A lot of motherfuckers that I thought I was cool with was kinda hating me under the surface. Niggas really wish the worst for me, like I'm supposed to suffer, but I wish the best for a nigga like you. But what you don't know about me is that I'm really destined for this shit. Let's see you do it without me. And I hit the strip while I'm whipping and I dip and I boast. Sometimes the street might try to bite a nigga, that's why I ride with the toast. Sometimes the block I have a nigga feeling like a nigga crept with a ghost. It's nothing though, cause you know we know the hood, that's why we rep it the most. See the gutter life will do it to you. While your niggas on the grind and you go in the hustle for paper, you can watch these broke niggas try to bring it to you. No need to fight you to shine, cause I was one of them hungry little hustler niggas who always try to think big. And you know a nigga stuck with the grind. I wonder if it's really for the better or for the worse. These niggas that you thought was the closest to you end up becoming them niggas that's crossing the line first. So I take it all inside, cause I guess it's all a part of my growth. You know I gotta keep my eyes on a lot of niggas that I always thought was my folks. Violating anyway. You think a nigga ain't gonna hurt you? Just cause you peeps don't think you can't catch it, nigga better move from my circle. I wish the best for dudes like you, but what you don't know about me is that I'm really destined for this shit. Let's see you do it without me.
Damn, this shit feel good. Damn, this shit feel good. Damn, this shit feel good. Damn, this shit feel good.
Yo, let me ask you a question, yo. Yo, would you kill for me?
Yeah. The act of making love.
It took you so long, motherfucker. Fuck
wrong with you, bitch. When I met you, I admit my first thoughts was a trick. You look so good, huh? I suck on your daddy's dick. Yeah. I never felt that way in my life. It didn't take long before I made you my wife. Got no rings and shit, just my main squeeze. Coming to the crib, even had a set of keys. During the days, you helped me bag up my nickels. In the process, I admit I tricked a little. But you was my bitch, the one that never snitched. Tell me when I'm broke or when I'm filthy fucking rich. And I admit, when the time is right, the wine is right, I treat you right. You talk slick, I beat you right.
Just me and my bitch. But you know you love it.
My steelo, I want a bitch that like to play CeeLo and craps, packing gats in a coach bag, steaming dime bags. A real bitch is all I want, all I ever had. With a pop just as strong as me, toting guns just as long as me. The bitch belongs with me. Any plans with another bitch, my bitch is flawless. One day she used my toothbrush to clean the toilet. Throwing my clothes out the window, so when the wind blows, I see my polos and Timbos. Hide my car keys so I can't leave. A real slick bitch, keep a trick up her sleeve. And if I deceive, she won't take it lightly. She'll invite me politely to fight G. And then we lie together, cry together. I swear to God, I hope we fucking die together.
Just me and my bitch, just me and my bitch. Just me and my bitch, just me and my bitch. Just me and my bitch, just me and my bitch. Just me and my bitch, just me and my bitch. Just me and my bitch.
She helped me plan out my robberies on my enemies. Didn't hesitate to squeeze to get my life out of danger. One day she put 911 on the pager. Had to call back whether it's minor or major. No response, the phone just rung. Grab my vest, grab my gun to find out the problem. When I pulled up, police was on the scene. Had to make the U-turn, make sure my shit was clean. Drove down the block, stashed the burner in the bushes. Stepped to police with the shoves and the pushes. It didn't take long before the tears start. I saw my bitch dead with the gunshot to the heart. And I know it was meant for me. I guess the niggas felt they had to kill the closest one to me. And when I find them, their life is to an end. They killed my best friend. Me and my
just
bitch.
Me and my bitch. Me and my bitch.
Just me and my
just me and my bitch. Just me and my bitch. Me and my bitch.
Just me and my
just me and my bitch.
Just me and my
just me and my bitch. Just me and my bitch. Just me and my bitch.
Just me and my
bitch. Just me and my bitch. Me and my bitch. Just me and my bitch.
First start rapping?
I was like about 18 years old. Yeah, about 18.
So how did you first get started? Who influenced you?
Ain't nobody really influenced me, you know what I'm saying? I just was just tired of being on the streets, you know what I'm saying? Had to get up off that, you know?
I see. So where you from?
Brooklyn.
Nigga, the missions to get what you don't got. The struggle that don't stop until we drop.
Crazy bone and ice.
Gotta keep going, hey. Gotta keep going.
Get your mind right, get your grind right. Get your mind right, get your grind right.
Look into my eyes if you wanna know me. Before you hypnotize, homie, what do you see? A figure that's just a little bigger than dealers. A hustler count figures, ain't pulled no triggers. Can you dig us? We be the ultimate lick. We's the hitters that make the ultimate hits. Kinda bossy, kinda bossy. It's got to be done my way. Do what the
I say. Top of the pyramid, homie, what I tell you, if you lead us west side, umbrella, you hit the cellar. Bring me my slippers, black robe, and my globe, and I can rule the world with my eyes closed.
With my eyes closed. See the listen, still get what we don't got, until we 50 rich and on top. You better go get it, it's you.
Crazy bone and ice cube.
See the missus to get what we don't got, until we 50 rich and on top. You better go get it, it's you. Nigga, the missus to get what you don't got, the struggle that don't stop until we drop, drop.
To all the little homies that's watching TV, I see you trying to be an OG like me. Chasing dreams, pulling more schemes for wealth, but the best thing in life is health. Be yourself, player. Television, it'll keep your ass wishing forever. You'll never get your life together. Don't talk about death, I got too much life to live. Too many orders to give, what it is, showbiz. Taught you what a trick and a hoe is. Showed you what a 64 is. Lord knows, in God we trust, and everybody in the world wanna be like us. Everybody.
See the missus to get what we don't got, until we 50 rich and on top. You better go get it, it's you. Nigga, the missus to get what you don't got, the struggle that don't stop until we drop.
Crazy bone and ice cube.
See the missus to get what we don't got, until we 50 rich and on top. You better go get it, it's you. Nigga, the missus to get what you don't got, the struggle that don't stop until we drop, drop, drop.
To the kids of the world that's waiting for wealth, waiting for help, you better do for self. Homie, that's your last cup. Forget about the fast buck. Boy, get your ass up. People use your brain to gain. Do something that ain't never been done. And we can spend huns. Wipe our ass with 20s, light our joints with ones. Throw away the guns, have nothing but fun. And homie, we can do that shit. Police have a fit when your paper's legit. We got to get off the phone, we got to teach our own. Send your baby to school and she'll come back grown. We got to talk to our grandmas and she'll help us through them dark halls and them pitfalls. Everybody know we got the world to gain. We got to stop the pain, Lord stop the brain.
Lord stop the brain. See the missus to get what we don't got, until we 50 rich and on top. You better go get it, it's you. Nigga, the missus to get what you don't got, the struggle that don't stop until we drop.
Crazy bone and ice cube.
See the missus to get what we don't got, until we 50 rich and on top. You better go get it, it's you. Nigga, the missus to get what you don't got, the struggle that don't stop until we drop, drop, drop.
Keep going, little homie, why you slowing? Keep rolling. Little homie, why you slowing? Keep rolling. Little homie, why you slowing? Keep rolling, 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 rolling.
Then I guess we all think realistically about that day when we will be victimized by what is life's final common denominator. That's something we call death. We all think about it, and every now and then I think about my own death, and I think about my own funeral. And I don't think of it in a morbid sense. And every now and then I ask myself, what is it that I would want said? And I leave the word to you this morning. If bidding you around when I have to meet my day, I don't want a long funeral. And if you get somebody to deliver the eulogy, tell them not to talk too long. And every now and then I wonder what I want to say. Tell them not to mention that I have a Nobel Peace Prize. That isn't important. Tell them not to mention that I have 300 or 400 other awards. That's not important. Tell them not to mention where I went to school. I just want somebody to mention on that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to give his life serving us. I want somebody to mention on that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to love somebody. I want you to be able to say on that day that I did try in my life.
life to clothe those who were naked. I want you to be able to say on that day that I did try in my life to visit those who were in prison. I want you to be able to say on that day that I tried to be right on the war question. I want you to be able to say on that day that I did try in my life to feed the hungry. I want you to be able to say on that day that I tried to love and serve humanity. Yes, if you're going to say that I was a drum major, say that I was a drum major for justice. Say that I was a drum major for peace. That I was a drum major for righteousness. And then all of the other shallow things will not matter. I won't have any money to leave behind. I won't have all the fine and luxurious things of life to leave behind. But I just want to leave a committed life behind. And that's all I want to say. If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word of song, if I can show somebody that he's traveling wrong, then my living will not be in vain.
Love.
Love.
Nationwide.
Nationwide.
What we need, we don't have.
What we need, we don't have.
Love.
Love.
Nationwide.
Nationwide.
I know we all can take heed.
I know we all can take heed.
To love.
To love. How much we can share
that love,
that love.
Nationwide.
Nationwide.
Get on up, get up, get on up, like a love machine. Get up, get on up, get up, get on up, like a love machine. Like a love machine.